Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allendary, and I'm an infectious disease specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk to healthcare professionals about what you need to know about COVID-19, as well as community and public health.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So let's get started.
Waning immunity in the Pfizer vaccine. Now, while the corona vaccines first came onto the scene, many people felt that life would return back to normal. However, researchers and medical professionals still encourage people to practice preventative measures and remain cautious. Two real-world studies are now showing that they were right to encourage caution because the Pfizer vaccine appears to be offering waning immunity as time goes on.
Studies from Israel and Qatar and published in the New England Journal of Medicine confirmed that the immune protection offered by two doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine drops off after about 2 months. However, please note that protection against severe disease, hospitalization, and death still remains strong. But the studies do support arguments that even fully vaccinated people need to maintain precautions against infection.
One study from Israel covered 4,800 healthcare workers and showed antibody levels waned rapidly after two doses of vaccine, especially amongst men, among persons 65 years and older, and among persons who had immunosuppressive conditions. A second study from Qatar looked at actual infections and found that vaccine-induced protection against infection builds rapidly after the first dose, peaks in the first month after the second dose, and then gradually wanes in subsequent months.
Researchers also found that the rate of waning appears to accelerate after the fourth month and reach a low level of approximately 20% in subsequent months. Nevertheless, protection against hospitalization and death still stayed at above 90%. Not too surprisingly, the waning protection may involve behavior. Researchers wrote, vaccinated persons presumably have a higher rate of social contact than unvaccinated persons and may also have lower adherence to safety measures. This behavior could reduce real-world effectiveness of the vaccine as compared with its biologic effectiveness, possibly explaining the waning of protection.
Researchers also indicated that immunity lasts longer for people who got vaccinated after getting infected with and recovering from COVID-19. Researchers wrote that the study findings could mean a large proportion of the vaccinated population may potentially lose its protection against infection in the coming months. Without that protection, we'd be facing more waves of infection globally.
Israel has been boosting its entire population and now says it will require people to have a third shot to be considered fully vaccinated.
Wow, think about that. I get that question all the time. What is considered fully vaccinated now that we have boosters available and are being recommended for everybody, not just those over the age of 65? The issue is that we are going to start seeing increases in hospitalizations and severity of illness in those people who even got two doses, but are unboosted. So we will see continued surges as a result of waning immunity. And we need to recognize that there are vaccines that are three-dose vaccines. The HPV is three doses. Yep. The MMR are three doses. Hepatitis B are three doses. Mm-hmm. So it's critically important for us to consider that three-dose vaccines are real. And this vaccine may need to be a three-dose vaccine. And that's just the reality of the situation. And this vaccine thing has been single-handedly one of the most difficult parts of my career is trying to fight and combat this misinformation. And at this point, when I see patients and I ask if they're vaccinated, they say no, I don't even go into it anymore. It's just not worth it. I just say, hey, you really need to consider it. You're at high risk, especially with my people who have HIV. You know, it's frustrating, but anyway. Go get vaccinated and then go get your booster. That's the bottom line.
Bottom line, exactly.
different pollutants as they relate to gender outcomes. Now, have you ever thought of what could influence the gender result of pregnancy? I'm sure there are some historic rituals and folklore surrounding this topic. Well, researchers have found factors that may influence birth ratios, but it isn't something anyone would want to willingly expose themselves to. Different pollutants are starting to correlate with different outcomes in baby genders. There's yet to be a full causal understanding of why this happens, but research has identified macroscope trends in populations and birth ratios following different types of exposures.
Wow. A study that included one half of the United States population and the entire population of Sweden analyzed 100 different pollutants and factors that could determine changes in gender outcome. For example, the study found that mercury, chromium, and aluminum pollutants were correlated with the birth of boys, while exposure to lead pollution led to increases in girl births. Measures of deprivation that include proximity to fast food restaurants, vacant buildings, and high stress-causing events led to significant changes in the sex ratio. These changes can lead to up to a 3% shift in the birth ratio. Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? The researchers examined birth ratios after two national large-scale traumatic events, Hurricane Katrina in 2005 and the Virginia Tech shootings in 2007. The only findings related to birth ratios were an increase in girls 34 weeks after the Virginia Tech shootings. Researchers determined that they should analyze birth ratios in populations more closely impacted by traumatic events and the changes in birth ratios rather than the whole group. Some factors unaccounted for were babies that were stillborn and the fact that the study only included people in the U.S. with private insurance, therefore not a complete picture in the U.S. population. Hope, certainly an interesting story, right?
Very
in terms of yet another example of unforeseen changes that pollutants can lead to, and really, really fascinating. I remember as I was prepping for my book that at one point I will finish, I promise. And as I was doing research on it, I was looking at pregnancy and women who give birth in very stressful situations, like in war-torn nations or in like post. I remember reading about post-Katrina and post-Virginia Tech. That's what kind of jogged my memory. Mm-hmm. And that due to the stress nature of the situation they're in, there are effects on birth weights as well, which I thought was really fascinating.
Wow. I mean, it makes sense because
it makes sense.
It really does make sense, but it's just, it's not something that you think about, right? Yeah, like affecting birth ratios. Like that is not something that pops into people's minds when you think about pollutants. It's crazy.
Not at all. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and to leave us a review, letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at www.hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at the Dr. Derry, that's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and to see and share our amazing animations and to find out more information about us and the show, go to noisefiltershow.com.
Just as a reminder, COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, do share the same risk factors. We are so grateful to our sponsors, Access Health Louisiana, and to the South Central AETC. You can learn more about them at www.scaetc.org. Hope, any last words?
Yeah, stay well out there, folks, and continue taking the steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, and seeing your healthcare provider regularly.
And protect yourselves and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. As an infectious diseases doctor, I also want to share with the healthcare providers in our audience that the HIV Care Tools app was recently launched by the AIDS Education and Training Center, the AETC. And it's a fantastic tool for ensuring your patients have access to the best standard of care. I encourage you all to check it out. And remember, health is a human right.